Merle Allen, bassist of the Murder Junkies, on the show. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for waking up and talking to us.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem.
You're playing Cafe 9 in New Haven tomorrow night. Let's get that out there just in case I have to hit the dump button a million times.
Okay, yes. Yes, Cafe 9, 215 State Street in beautiful New Haven, Connecticut.
Nice.
It's the first show of pretty much every tour we do. We always play our first show at Cafe 9.
I can see why. It's such a cool vibe to play there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's because our singer lives in Connecticut, and it's like an hour and a half or something away. So it's more convenient to start there, you know, since we usually start on the East Coast. So.
Well, just for full disclosure, I'm probably the dumbest person you're ever going to talk to when it comes to, like, punk rock in the 70s. So it took me a while to hear about Gigi Allen, the Murder Junkies, and a listener recently told me about it, and I watched the documentary, so I went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I'm like new to this party, if you want to call it a party. But then it just happened that the very next week that I discover this whole Carnival of Mayhem.
Yes.
That you guys are playing in New Haven. I'm like, this seems like the universe is making it happen here.
They're aligned, yes.
right.
I got to tell you, I was blown away. Like, even now, like, you would think by now the stuff your brother did on stage would be like, everyone, you know what I mean? Like, that's old. Like, they're blowing themselves up now on stage. No.
Right.
I mean, the stuff that he did still is really not done.
He was way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And continues to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Trendsetter. Yep.
Now, the cameras followed you for certain shows, and I got to see, and again, if you're listening and having breakfast, please just turn down the radio. Walk away.
Right.
But I saw your brother go duty.
He pooped.
Defecated on stage.
He defecated, yes.
Yes, yep. And then... I thought that was the grossest thing. Like, I screamed out loud when he did that because it looked like one of those ice cream machines.
Like Play-Doh Fun Factory?
No. Right. Stop.
But then he dove in and, it was a smear campaign, in his mouth and all this.
Oh.
Now, was that the only time that happened?
Oh, good.
No.
That's a common thing.
No. So I was wondering, like, is this like he's like, you know, cranking it up because the camera's there?
Right. Amping
it. No. That happened many, many times. I mean, sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. Depended on the audience and how he felt.
His mood,
what he ate.
If he had to go, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. The first time he did that, did you know it was coming?
I wasn't with him the first time he did it, so.
You heard about it.
What was your reaction when you heard?
It didn't really surprise me. Nothing surprises me that my brother did, so, yeah.
Well.
I mean, I guess it was kind of shocking because this happened in the mid-80s, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're growing up with him, and... were there signs of this when he was a young child? Would he do stuff like this at the dinner table? Or,
I mean, we were pretty normal growing up, you know? I mean, as normal as you can be growing up in New Hampshire and being into music and wearing crazy clothes and, you know, hitchhiking all over the country to see bands and stuff like that. So we were kind of like the outcasts of our town because we grew up in a small town in New Hampshire, you know.
Yeah.
So you guys saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, and like a lot of great musicians,
that's what happened. Yep.
Took to it. And then you would break into houses and like rob so you could get money to buy music.
Oh yeah. Or we'd just go steal records. We stole a lot of records in our day.
What was the first record you stole?
Oh, God. I think Aqualung by Jez Ortal.
Okay.
That's a good one.
All right.
Yep.
My friend Mark Fan, I didn't steal it, but my friend Mark Fan took the Boston One album, the 8-track, that long box,
oh, no.
and stuffed it down his pants.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hung up.
Very happy.
All right, boys, gifted.
Man, that movie is something else. Like, you just can't stop watching it. You know, it's one
What's
going to
happen next? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's Todd Phillips' first movie.
Pretty remarkable. And then, like, yeah. Your brother would cut himself. And I think, like, did he ever get sick from, you
ingesting
know, something
duty?
That he was ingesting or cutting himself and the combination of those?
Yeah, he would get blood poisoning every once in a while.
Wow.
So we'd be playing shows, and then we'd end up in the hospital for a day or two or whatever. Yeah. So it was either going to be the hospital or jail. So
yeah. Yeah, one of the two.
That was the theme of the movie, AJ. I didn't see too much hospital, but I saw a lot. I remember a lot of jail.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And the cops chasing you guys, basically.
Three huts and a cotton. Yep.
And did you guys ever, as a band, say, hey, Gigi, you know, if you just tone it down a little bit, maybe...
No, that's why the Jabbers first band broke up, because, you know, he was starting to, you know, get to the point where, you know, he ended up with us. But they broke up with him eventually because, you know, they rehearsed all the time. They'd go and play a show, and the show would last, like, 10 minutes, or they'd get thrown out, and, you know, the band got frustrated and eventually just quit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
we knew what to expect, so we knew what was going on. So, you know, if the show lasted 10 minutes, so be it. And if it lasted a half hour, that was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
No, yeah. You're great in the documentary. You were a great brother to him. And you know, like when I saw you on the video, I'm like, you know, I haven't seen that mustache since, like, World War II.
Yeah. It's quite epic.
I still have it.
Do you?
I still have it. It's just hiding behind the red in my beard, you know, but I still have the little black sash, yeah.
For about 10 minutes of this movie, I'm like, are his sideburns and mustache glued on?
Right.
I thought they were, like, costume.
They're so thick.
Facial hair.
Yeah.
But that's real.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah.
You know you're really some kind of a wild, crazy, cutting-edge punk rock band when punk rock clubs in New York are saying, you can't play here.
Right.
Yeah.
We've had enough of that already.
Or Gigi would play there, and the next week the club would end up closing, you know?
Unreal.
Yep.
And then Dee Dee Ramone joined your band for a short period of time, right?
Yeah, Dee Dee played, rehearsed with us and stuff like that. And he was supposed to go on tour with us, but I guess as the tour got closer, the reality of him playing with us and going on tour with us probably hit him, and he decided to. I don't know. I don't really know what happened, because he stopped coming to rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured he couldn't hack it.
Yeah.
No, but think about how edgy this band was, that a Ramon was like, man, I can't do it.
Yeah. I got church.
He would look like a guy in a tuxedo at an Iron Maiden concert.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Out of place.
Yeah. Like, even with his leather and his ripped jeans, like, he would look like he would look
like
too well dressed.
Like a nerd. Yeah.
He'd look like a nerd.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Dee was great though. We loved hanging out with him and you know, just jamming with him and stuff. He was funny.
Merrill Allen is on Basis of the Murder Junkies. They're playing at Cafe 9 tomorrow. While you guys were, you know, getting all this buzz and playing these shows and getting shut down and all this, did you have any famous rockers of the time or soon to be famous rockers of the time stop at your gigs?
Jello came out to one of our shows in San Francisco, Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Who else? I'm sure there were others, but yeah, I'm not, my brain is not functioning properly.
It's too early for a musician.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
I'd be sleeping now if I didn't have to do a show.
Seriously.
Right.
No, what cracked me up is, like, you guys, people would come to see you guys. You'd be on stage for a couple minutes, And Gigi would basically chase everyone out of the room.
Yeah.
People would be like poking their heads through the door just to see what was going on, but they didn't want to be like in the, it was like a bad version of Gallagher.
Okay.
Like, you don't want to get sprayed by this watermelon.
Right. It was a challenge to be in the audience.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's funny.
And you had a guitar player who quit, but was in the documentary.
Yeah, well, he quit. We fired him. We didn't like him. He didn't like us.
It was amicable. No, that's all right. So I had a dumb button.
It was amicable.
So it was a mutual thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was mutual. He's been bitter ever since he left the band, and now he shit talks us all the time. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny about that? At the end of the documentary, he was trying to prove a point that Gigi wasn't like that a big thing. And so he's like, Gigi, this is nothing. And he starts hitting himself.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you could see like he hurt himself.
He rang the bell.
And then he like touches his lip and he's like seeing if he's bleeding. I'm like,
I know.
Poser.
We don't really consider the band really as the Murder Junkies until after he left. And then we got our original guitar player that toured with us the rest of the time. So
your drummer is the drummer that's in the documentary is with you tomorrow night, correct?
Yes, I've been with Dino Sex for 35, 36 years, something like that.
What was he on during the first, like the first time you see him on screen talking? What drug was he on?
The drug called Insanity.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I was wondering, I'm like, this guy's either nuts or he's on acid.
Yeah, no, right? Dino doesn't do drugs.
No.
And really,
he
doesn't need them.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
He's amped already. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Naturally.
Yep.
Wow. Because, the first segment, I'm like, this dude is tuned up.
Right.
And then the next segment, he sounds a little bit like a genius.
Right.
And I'm like,
no, he is. He's a very smart guy.
No, but the geniuses are usually crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a thin line between genius and insanity. Yep.
No, but if you've ever tripped on acid, you have these moments where you're like crazy.
Yep.
And then you have a moment where you're like, wow, I just figured out how this whole universe works.
Relativity.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, we've all tripped on acid. So we all know that story, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Oh, yeah. He still plays naked, too.
Really?
Thanks for the warning.
Exactly. It's actually something you really don't want to see anymore.
Yeah. If his drums, he could talk.
That drum stool.
That's yours.
That drum stool is like, I could have been anyone's drum stool, and I have to be this guy's drum stool.
Right.
And then he still does the disappearing drumstick.
Nice. You don't want that stick.
Oh, he still does that.
You don't want the stick back, do you?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay.
Most folks just put him in like a little pouch.
Just a little pouch. Right. He's got a little pouch.
Yes,
but
he does.
That's the level that Gigi took it to. Is like, this guy's still in the band and no one's talking about that.
Right.
Gigi's so insane.
Right. That's a great point. It's so insane. Yeah. What Gigi did was so insane that no one talks about the disappearing drumstick.
Yeah. If you offer your breadstick, by the way, you don't want it.
What I thought right at the end would have been a real punk rock thing to do? And I don't know, maybe you guys were like very hurt at the moment after Gigi died. But the final shot when they're carrying his casket to the grave, I'm like, oh, man, the most punk rock thing to do would be to just dump that thing over right now.
Right.
Yeah, well, my mom was there.
All right.
Okay. That was not going to happen.
Yeah.
Mom's frowned on
you.
That, yeah.
She would have killed me, too, at that time.
Right.
And there would have been a double.
How did your mom take all that?
We tried to shelter her as much as we could, but, she was like an upstanding citizen in the community, so, she didn't really like what we were doing, but, she always supported us and never turned her back on us. So,
hey, you were working.
No, that's great. No, she never turned her back on you.
Yeah.
That's special.
Yep.
Did you guys ever play, like, your hometown or anyone near it?
Well, yeah, not when Gigi was alive.
Okay. Yeah.
But we do the anniversary shows up in New Hampshire now. So every, you know, every 5 years we do an anniversary. That's the reason we got back together in the first place, was when we did the 10-year anniversary of Gigi's death. I decided to put the band back together just to play like a handful of shows. And we were going to go up to New Hampshire and play and go to the grave and all that. And we did that. You know, we did like 3 or 4 shows. We did New Hampshire. We did Massachusetts. We did New York. And then it kind of just snowballed out of control after that, when people realized that we were playing again. And they wanted to book a tour for us here and a tour for us there. And we went to Europe 3 times. We've been to Australia. We've put out 3 new albums.
Nice.
So, yeah, we've been working.
Well, thanks for waking up and coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
It's like you're
no
the problem. Original Gwar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yep.
But with real bodily fluids.
Real, right. Yeah, all exactly. Real people.
Yeah, none of this fake bullshit.
No, right. Not at all. Exactly. Merrill Allen, bassist of the Murder Junkies, coming to Cafe 9 tomorrow night. We're linked up at WPLR.com. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
It's our first tour in 6 years since COVID.
Oh, damn.
Don't miss it.
First show
yep.
of the first tour in 6 years,
wow.
tomorrow night in New Haven.
It's going to be insane.
Cafe yep. 9. Thank you, Merle.
All right.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.